Trinity.com.
We're going to make up for frustration with energy. Lots of technical stuff. Our kids' stuff downstairs. Bob's having issues up here. Wow, wonderful. But you know what? None of that is none of that's going to stop where we're going this morning. We are in our supernatural series. We've been focusing in on a passage of scripture for a couple of weeks, number of weeks, and that's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles or read along with that, we're going to start with that passage this morning just to remind us of what we're working through. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplications." Anybody remember, a little pop quiz this morning if you were here or listen to the podcast, anyone remember last week's big idea? And I'll give you a clue. It starts with "I can be." All right, so can anybody remember that? This is really on me, not on you guys, right? I can be crickets. All right, nobody's covered in confidence from head to toe. I can be covered in confidence from head to toe. We talked about the helmet. By the way, that was a little trick question because, that was it. But just leading us into the review. But here's the idea. We need to put on two pieces of armor to have confidence. Confidence in the gospel, confidence in our salvation. We have the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So we've got the gospel, the aspect of the gospel that we're established in that, in our hearts. And we've got the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, which is this complete picture, understanding the complete work that Jesus is doing in us from start to finish. And when we have those two things in place, we can be covered in confidence. There is a confidence that we can have in the gospel and in our salvation that can carry us into life. However, confidence alone is not going to be enough to help us succeed. Right? Here's a case in point. A little picture here. Take a look at this picture. This is during the memorial service in honor of Nelson Mandela from a few years back. President Obama at the time. And the guy next to him is a sign language interpreter. Now, maybe you read about this, but as you see, he's up there looking pretty confident, right? Even though he's standing next to the leader of the free world and his message is going out to millions of people around the world who are watching this broadcast, he is brave, he is bold, he is courageous. Unfortunately, he was pretty much also clueless when it came to sign language. Reports came out the next day after the event that he had made most of it up. He had made most of it up. Sign language experts pretty much said, yeah, he was mostly just waving his arms around. Serious. Now, he said that after the day, he was just overwhelmed by the activity and might have had a nervous breakdown, but currently is pursuing a career in acting. So put those things together, make of it what you will. Fake it till you make it, right? See, confidence without skills, that can make you look pretty silly. I'm going to share a story that I don't know if I've shared with anybody ever in my life, speaking of confidence that makes you look silly without skill. When I was about 18, I got my first car. And it was this from my grandpa. It was pretty awesome. I had no right to have it, but my grandma made me have it. She like bothered my grandpa until he gave it to me because he promised when I was like 9 that I could have it when he was done. I mean, I wasn't holding him to that, but she was, which was cool. Got my first car. It's this big, white Lincoln Mercury Grand Marquis. It was huge. I mean, like the length of a football field, kind of huge. It was awful for driving around town, but it was awesome on the highway. It just cruised. So that was awesome. That was my first car. And what was bad about it, though, was I was a college student. I had no money, and I had no mechanical know-how in regards to cars. Now, I was able to change a battery, right? I was able to change a battery because the car wasn't running quite right, so got a battery changed, and that didn't seem to help. So somebody told me, oh, well, your problem's probably your alternator. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And they're like, ah, that's a real easy fix. All you got to do is this, this, that, and the other thing. Now, granted, this is pre-internet days, okay? So, you know, I couldn't go Google this or watch a video pre-internet days. So I'm like, I kind of paid attention. I thought I knew what I was doing. I got my hands dirty, got under the hood of the car, pulled out what I thought was the alternator, took it to the store because they told me that if when you take the alternator out of the car, they'll give you money back for the core, right? Like, so that's cool. So I take it out, and I bring it to the store, and I say, I'm just wondering what I can get for the core of this. And the guy looks at me. He's like, that? I'm like, yeah. Like, I heard if you take it out, you get money back for the core of the. He's like, now for that, we can't give you anything for the windshield wiper motor. True story. I bare my soul before you right now. Confidence without skill will make you look pretty silly. By the way, I did get the windshield wipers motor back in, but they never quite worked the same. They never did. This is why I do not mess with cars at all. It's a bad idea. Here's this great quote from John Acuff. He's a Christian author, writer, speaker, and he said this, I hope you are confident in your abilities, but more than that, I hope you get some. Right? That's what I did not have. When it comes to our spiritual battle, that we're fighting, we can't fake it. Right? We can't be faking it. We're going to need these last two pieces of armor if we want to make it through. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. Two more pieces of armor today, the last two. First of all, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, in every circumstance, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. And we'll start out with this. When we talk about the shield of faith is about trusting God's protection. Okay, the shield of faith is about fully trusting God's protection. It's clinging to his promises and trusting his character no matter what comes our way. It's having this unwavering belief that he is going to come through. Right? The shield of faith, when we talk about faith, it might be easy for us to point to, oh, that moment that we put our faith and trust in Christ, but that was what the helmet was about. That was what the shoes were about, the gospel and salvation. This is a little different. This is about having this unwavering belief in God and his promises and his protection for our life. There was a professor from Moody Bible Institute, no longer alive, but Kenneth Samuel Wiest described faith this way. It is our absolute confidence and trust in God, his promises, his power, and his program, or in other words, his plan for our lives. Right? What a great quote. Now, when we talk about the shield of faith, there were actually two types of shields that could be used in battle. The first one was a smaller shield, picture from the movie Gladiator, because, you know, why not? Because that was awesome. But you get the idea. It's a smaller shield, a little bit smaller, easier to carry, not as much protection, but very, you know, agile. It was good for maneuvering. That's not the kind of shield Paul is actually talking about here. When he mentions the word shield, he mentions a very specific kind, which looks more like this. Okay, not exactly like this, but this is sort of a replica idea of it. The large shield, it's a large shield. It was usually about 2 feet wide to 4 feet tall. And it covered most of the soldier's body. In fact, if it was big enough that if they crouched down behind it, it would cover them completely. Now, usually, we might think of shield. We might think of this metal deflecting shield. But the way that it was typically made, apparently, was that it was made out of a wood frame with multiple layers of tightly stretched leather that went across it. Now, you might think, well, leather, how would that make a good material for a shield? Why not bronze or iron? Well, you know, if you were making some sort of metal shield, that size would be so heavy you wouldn't be able to maneuver with it. In fact, these shields with wood and leather, typically they said probably weighed 20 to 40 pounds already. So they'd already be maneuvering around with this, and that's why they would design them so that they could actually hook it into the belt that they were wearing. It would be attached to that belt and make it easier to carry it or to support it. Now, the leather on this shield, it had to be cured. It had to be taken care of and oiled down regularly, apparently. Otherwise, it would become brittle, and then when it took on impact, it would just break or shatter. But when these shields were properly cared for, they were virtually impenetrable. Now, here's a cool thing about them. There's this, the top layer of the shield was actually a loose layer of leather that was fastened to it. And this loose layer would allow the shield to absorb arrows rather than deflect them. In fact, there's one report that there was a soldier from Seneca that came out of a battle with over 200 arrows stuck in his shield. I mean, that is crazy. Now, why did they design it like this? Well, because one of the weapons at the time would be a flaming arrow. Paul talks about the fiery dart. It'd be a flaming arrow. Could be an arrow dipped in pitch, lit on fire before it was shot out. But there's actually reports that at the time there were arrows that had a flammable liquid on the inside that when they hit a hard surface and struck it, it would ignite and there'd be this flash of fire that would be produced. So if you had a metal shield anyway, it might deflect the sword, but you'd still have to deal with this fire. It would be a problem. So they designed this shield to absorb the arrow, and they would often dip it into water before they went to battle so that when that arrow hit, it would snuff out the flames upon impact. I mean, pretty clever stuff, right, for 2,000 years ago. It's amazing that people were pulling that off. And so what Paul writes here, though, is that the shield of faith can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Pretty awesome picture. It's a pretty awesome picture. Now, Paul doesn't specify what these flaming arrows or fiery darts are specifically. But look, we know, and we've talked about this over the past week, Satan is a deceiver, he's a tempter, and he's a liar. So we can assume that the fiery darts that get thrown our way are going to be anything that distracts us from following God, anything that tempts us into sin or causes us to shrink back from fear in our faith. So we need the shield, right? We need the shield of faith because it will do this. The shield of faith, this weapon, enables us to say no to Satan. Now, that might seem very simplistic, but it's really important. It's really important. The shield of faith, this piece of armor, enables us to say no to Satan. Let's take a look at a passage where we see this taking place. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is a story of Jesus when he is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. It says this, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now, first of all, I want to just remind us, because I think sometimes we throw this around, and I don't know where everyone here this morning is at with it, but this is Jesus being confronted by Satan. It's important for us to realize Satan isn't just some fictional being, some figment of our imagination, a very real spiritual enemy that we're fighting. Jesus fought with him here. And each time Satan came at Jesus, Jesus held up the shield of faith, right? He fully trusted God the Father and enabled him to say no to whatever Satan threw his way. So for us, in the same way, if we hold up the shield of faith, by faith we will be able to say no to whatever the devil fires at us. The shield of faith is what we can extinguish all the flaming arrows, the fiery darts of the evil one with. So, when Satan tempts you to lash out with your words, or maybe even lash out with your hands in anger, you hold up that shield of faith and say no to him. Right? When Satan tempts you to give in to some sexual desire that is out of line with God's heart, or when you're tempted to click on that website or to let that romantic fantasy linger in your mind, you hold up that shield of faith and you say no to him. When you have an emptiness that is kind of consuming you and you're tempted to fill that with whatever, food or alcohol or drugs or sex, and there's this little voice that is even inside you saying, you know what, it's okay. You need this right now. You deserve this. You hold up that shield of faith and say no to him. With the shield of faith, we extinguish the flaming arrows, the fiery darts of the evil one. You know, maybe you feel like there is a barrage of arrows that are being flung your way, ways that you are being tempted or tested by Satan. Trust God's protection for you, right? Hold up the shield of faith and get behind it completely if you have to, so his fiery darts don't get the best of you. So that's what the shield of faith is about. It's about trusting in God's protection for us. But we also need a weapon to fight back with, right? And that's why we have the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the second one. And now, just like there are different shields that could be used in combat, there are actually different swords that could be used as well. And that's easy to imagine. You can picture maybe the large metal club-like swords of the knights with their full armor and, you know, trying to smash each other up with these big swords. That's not the kind of sword Paul is talking about here. Instead, he talks about a sword that is called the Machaira, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's the Greek phrase of it here, and it was often referred to as a slaughter knife. Pretty graphic picture, but it's the idea of not a long club-like sword, but a short sword, or even what might be considered a long knife. It was much easier to wield this weapon in close quarters combat. So when Paul talks about the shield and the sword, think big shield, but small sword is what he's talking about. And Paul tells us straight up that this sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. So here's the deal. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is about fighting back with truth. The sword of the Spirit is about fighting back with truth or with God's Word. Now, when you hear the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The phrase there, the word there for word is the Greek word rhema. And it refers to a word spoken by a living thing. Specifically, Paul is talking about the word spoken by the one true living God. Now, back then, we've talked about this in this series. Back then, Paul and the people he wrote to, they didn't have the full picture of the Bible like we have now, right? They had the Old Testament scriptures, and certainly he would have meant that. There were the teachings about Jesus, and certainly he would have meant those things. There was also the truth of Jesus' life and what he did and what he accomplished on the cross. Okay? So when he speaks of the word, he's talking about all of this that comes from the mouth of God. Now for us, we have the advantage of having the scriptures. Those activities and events were written down for us. And we believe that they were inspired. They were written by men, but they were inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. So our scriptures contain those Old Testament passages, the law and the prophets, and the gospel accounts of Jesus, and the letters that were written, which we call the epistles. Right? We have all that written down, and we believe these are the words of spiritual truth that we're supposed to live by. So when Paul talks about the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, for us, that's our Bible, right? God's Word. This is what we have to fight back with. Now, here's what this piece of armor does. This piece of armor enables us to say yes to God. All right, so it's a little, again, maybe a little simplistic, but where the shield allows us to say no to Satan, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, allows us to say yes to God. Now think back to that story of Jesus that we just looked at. Three times, Jesus was tempted by Satan, and all three times he refused to give in. Right? He held up the shield of faith. He said no to what Satan was trying to get him to do. But also each time he was tempted, he quoted the scriptures. He knew what God wanted in his word, and he fought back with the sword of the Spirit and said yes to what God wanted. When Satan said, turn these stones into bread, well, Jesus held out the shield of faith. He said no to Satan, but he also quoted the scriptures. Right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He knew the Word of God. He had the sword of the Spirit, and he said yes to what God wanted. Throw yourself down from this high place and let the angels catch you, because you know they will. Well, Jesus held up the shield of faith. He said no to Satan, but he quoted Scripture again. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He knew what God wanted, and he fought back with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll give you everything you want, Jesus. Shortcut. You can get everything you want. Just bow down and worship me. Jesus held out the shield of faith and said no to Satan. But he also quoted the scriptures. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Right? He took out the sword of the Spirit. He fought back with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and said yes to what God wanted. Now, here's something that we need to realize. I think it's pretty significant. In this story, in this example, in this war that we see, this battle between Satan and Jesus, when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus could have responded any way that he wanted to. And whatever Jesus would have said, it would actually have become Scripture. Okay? Think about that. In that moment, Jesus could have said, well, Satan, I cast you out and throw you into whatever. And we would be reading that and going, oh, that's how you fight Satan, right? Jesus could have said anything he wanted in that moment. It would have been like a teaching for us. It would have been instruction for us. But what did he do? He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture. Why? Well, it was for our sake, for our benefit, so we could see how we are supposed to fight off the temptations we face in life with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Now, Jesus knew what God the Father wanted because he knew the Scriptures. It enabled him to say yes to God. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word of God. It says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's a great picture. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is an incredibly powerful weapon. But you know, there's one thing about this weapon that we have got to realize. And you think about this, every other piece of armor that Paul refers to is something we just have to put on or take up, like hold on to. Right? The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the helmet, the shield. We just have to take it up or put it on. But the sword is different. It doesn't do the work for you. It's something you need to learn how to use. There's this great movie clip that I want to share with you here. How many of you remember the movie Taken? Liam Neeson, all right? If not, that's okay if you don't. I like this. This is one of the greatest movie quotes ever. And I want to play this video for you, but here's the scene. Liam Neeson plays this guy, Brian Mills, who's an ex-military guy, like ex-CIA or something like that, and his daughter has been kidnapped. And so right after his daughter has been kidnapped, he actually gets the kidnapper on the phone and has this conversation with him, and that's where this classic line comes from. So let's roll clip. Love that line, right? Not the good luck part. Spoiler alert, they did not have good luck. He did. No, but you love that line. In this line, he did not just have confidence. He had skills. Right? He had skills. You know, Paul writes to his young friend Timothy, and he's encouraging him as he's leading in the church, and he writes about these persecutions and trials that Timothy's facing. Here's what it says, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Paul writes this to him, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And he says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or the woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work." Now hear what he's saying to Timothy. Continue learning. You're acquainted with the scriptures. Gain wisdom by them. Let them teach you and instruct you. Let them persuade you. Let them train you and develop you spiritually. Let them correct you and establish discipline in your life so you can be fully equipped and able to fight. See, it's not enough for us that we simply have the Word of God, right? When temptations come our way, we can't just pick up the Bible and throw it at them. That's not going to work. When Satan comes after us, we can't just try and smack him around with it. That's not how we use this weapon. Right? We have to know what it says and know what God wants us to do. That way, when Satan comes our way, we can just simply say, "I know who you are, and I know what you want. But what I have is a particular set of skills." Right? Skills that I have acquired over a long period of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for the likes of you. Now, I joke about that, but seriously, I'm not talking about us getting this attitude that says, "Yeah, I'm going to go in and against Satan, and we're going to kick butt and take some names." Honestly, I think that's arrogance on our part. David Platt, who's an author and a pastor, he has a great quote about this, and he says this, "Look, if we face Satan face to face, we wouldn't stand a chance on our own. We would be outsmarted and overpowered in less than a second." He is a powerful, powerful being, a strong enemy. We can't face him on our own. So I'm not talking about kicking butt and taking names against him. But when we know the Word of God, we'll be able to fight back. When we have the shield of faith, we'll be able to say no. And we'll be able to say yes to God because we have a weapon. We'll be armed with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when we learn how to use it in battle. So we need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to hide it in our hearts. Now, I do want to ask you point blank, when's the last time you spent some time reading and studying God's Word? Right? That's a challenge for us because we can't use it if we don't have it, if we're not in it. I mean, when's the last time you were in God's Word besides maybe here at church or in your connection group? Was it yesterday? Cool. Was it last week? Last month? That's not going to cut it for us. It's not. Because if you don't know the Scriptures, you're not going to have anything to fight with. If I don't have the Scriptures, if I'm not in it, I'm not going to have a weapon to fight with. And eventually, I'll be overpowered. So here's a challenge for you this week. And this is a big one. This is probably the biggest challenge we've given in this series so far. Begin memorizing this particular passage of Scripture that we're working our way through. Okay, memorize Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, which will remind us of the spiritual battle that we're in and the weapons that we need to use to fight in this battle. Now, hey, if you're like me, I know what that sounds like. Like, oh, memorize Scripture, that's really hard. I'm not very good at that. Okay, I get it. I'm not very good at that either. But I've been working my way through this one, and I want to just take a minute or two to help you think through how we could do this. Okay, so start just by reading the passage every day, right? Just reading through it, and then start with one verse on day one. So let's make today day one, and we start with Ephesians 6:10, which says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Right? Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Right? One more time without me. Boom, one verse down. Right? At least that's a start. Repeat that throughout the day. Write it down if you have to. Carry it with you. Remind yourself of it. Before you go to bed at night, say that verse once again. And the verse is what? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. When you wake up the next morning, see if you can remember it through the night, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Then add a verse. So verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Right? Whew, two verses down. Cool. Read that throughout the day. Remember that throughout the day. Add it to it. Day 3, Ephesians 6, 13. Which says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Guys, that one tripped me up for a lot of days. That's a lot of stuff to remember. And by the way, I'm not looking at this in my notes right now. Like, this is a challenge for me too. It reminds us of the enemy we face. So add that on day 3. Day 4, 6:14, which says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Hey, that part's easy because you just memorized a verse that said the same thing 2 days ago, right? Therefore, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. Right? 4 days, you get the four verses that talk about our spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, and what it's about. And then guess what? Then it's just about remembering these weapons, these pieces of armor we're supposed to put on. So verse 15, therefore, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, a little cheat method here. Discount double check, right? You can remember it that way. Stand therefore, make the motions, I don't care. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel given by the gospel of peace. In every circumstance, next verse, in every circumstance, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts or the fiery arrows of the evil one. See, and now you get stuck because you're in front of everybody. With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the reason I mess these up is because we didn't teach them in this order. So I want to flip things around, right? Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in every prayers and supplications. And like I'll tell you, did I say it exactly right? No. So what? Like I got it, right? I know what this is about. It's like hidden in our hearts. So I want to give you that challenge this week. You may not be perfect at it. It's going to take a while. It might take you 2 weeks. That's fine. Right? But be in the Scripture. Now, we're not doing this so that we can get, like, you know, a kid's prize out of the prize vault for memorizing our Scripture. Now, that would be cool. We don't have one of those things set up. If that helps you at home, you know, buy yourself a candy bar or something, you know, when you do it. It's fine. But we're memorizing it, we're remembering it so that we're in it and that we have the sword of the Spirit. We have a weapon to fight back with. We have a weapon to fight back with in our spiritual battle. So if we could sum this all up, these verses, these two pieces of armor, we'd sum it up this way. Trust God's protection and fight back with truth. Trust God's protection. Fight back with truth. Right? Take up that shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So you can say no to Satan. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we can say yes to Him. Learn how to use it well so that we know what He wants from us and we can fight back with truth. We're going to close our time in prayer this morning. Father God, this idea of knowing and memorizing your word may not be an easy thing for us. But help us to do that. Help us to be in your word every day. Help us to be learning and growing in you and seeking you and learning more and more of what you want from us. So that as we're in this spiritual battle against a very real enemy with incredibly high stakes, we can defend ourselves by faith, but we can fight back with the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Help us to be in it so that we can hide it in our hearts and say yes to what it is that you want for us in every circumstance. Help us to trust your protection and help us to fight back with truth. Thank you for the power and the strength that you provide. Thank you for the command to put on this armor because it's for our benefit. In our spiritual battle, we want to step into that as best we can. And so we pray these things, we lift them before you in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.